the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. One thing they don't tell you when you have children is just how much time you spend thinking about them. I mean really thinking about them, trying to figure out what is happening in their ever-growing and changing minds, trying to figure out just what impact you as a parent are having on them, on the type of person they will be, on the way they will see the world. As I am the father of a soon-to-be 5-year-old, I started thinking about all the things my child knows as well as what she thinks she knows. This Advent season, I found myself pondering in my heart what she knows about Christmas. So I thought about how my wife and I talked about Christmas in our home over the past month or so. It started out by circling toys in the Amazon wish book, which showed up unordered and unexpected on the Friday after Thanksgiving. We put up the tree and decorated it. We put out our nativity sets together. We told her we didn't put the baby Jesus in them because it wasn't Christmas yet. That led to a deep theological conversation where she said Jesus has already been born. She's learned about history this year, and to her, there's only linear time. That conversation ended with, "Because I say so, that's why." Needless to say, she will be very happy when we can finally put the baby Jesus in the manger later tonight. We talked about St. Nicholas and how he helped women who wanted to get married, and we talked a lot about Santa Claus. We talked about why we give gifts at Christmas. My wife wrote Christmas cards, and we did all the wacky Christmas week things for daycare. We get to tonight, and I am still left pondering. I realize that a lot of what my daughter and her younger brother, who is 2, what they know about Christmas comes from culture outside of the church, certainly outside of the Bible. I imagine many of us have similar accounts of what we know about Christmas. It's easy to conflate stories and carols and movies and cultural celebrations into one big Christmas experience with cookies and milk and eggnog and lights and sleigh bells. There's the Grinch and the Elf on the Shelf. There's shepherds and angels and stars in the skies. There are silent nights and holy nights and reindeer. It's hard to figure out where the cultural Christmas ends and the religious celebration begins. To me, it seems to be getting harder and harder to differentiate the good news from a feel-good story. But just now, we heard it. We heard the good news that in the middle of a city, overflowing with people, a baby was born. Now, I imagine that Jesus was not the only baby born that night, but that baby was special because he was born of the Virgin Mary. He was descended from the lineage of David. He was unlike any other human being who was ever born. Certainly unlike any leader the world had ever seen before or since. This little child would and did and is changing the world. The telling of it from the Gospel of Luke is so strikingly simple. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. There is, of course, more to the telling. Angels and shepherds, praises sung and wonderment felt, but that simple sentence is the core, the very heart of why we are all here tonight. A mother giving birth to a child. Having next to nothing, she wraps him in what little she has. Finding no hospitality, charity, or goodwill, this newborn baby, this brand new life, is laid outside in a manger. Why? That is the question my daughter and son ask me so much. Why? It is the question I find myself asking when I ponder just what it is they know about Christmas and what it is I really know about Christmas. So much can be said and has been said about this miracle. But But I am left dumbstruck by the fact that this is how God chooses to be among us. This is how God chooses to be in this world. There were no earthquakes and fire. There was no lightning and thunder to herald his arrival. If you had looked for God that night in the places of authority and privilege and wealth, you would have found just that: human authority, human privilege, and human wealth. But you would not have found God there. To find God, you had to look outside, under the stars in the cool night air, among the animals laid in the hay. There you will find God. Innocent, humble, painfully vulnerable. It all started outside, where so few were looking and where so few were paying attention. God broke into this world. The perfect contradiction of everything humanity holds up to the ideals of power. This child given, this life given. Why? The answer in the end is as simple as the telling. Why? Because of love. Because of God's love for creation, because of God's love for humanity, because of God's love for each and every one of us. My daughter asked why, and I answer. My dear, because you are loved. And it is a love that has to live, has to grow, and learn to walk, learn to talk. It is a love that has to proclaim the truth and to show mercy. It is a love that has to offer up its very body and blood, its very self for the world. It is a love that has to rise from the grave so that you might know, my dear, that you are loved. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Never lose sight of this simple fact. On this night, Jesus is to be found out there, waiting for you in a manger, born for you, living and dying and rising to eternal life for you, because you are loved. Amen.